Anderson, how are you today, Scott, following last night's disappointment?
I'm all right. I mean, I mentioned the crosstalk. There was so much snark. One of the posts that I saw last night, I did laugh out loud a little bit. TJ Lang had posted after, I don't know if it was 3-1 or whatever it was. And he said, all right, done watching dudes do cardio.
That's a good line.
Which it made me laugh a little bit. Because I think yeah, even
cross
TJ,
country with a ball. We've heard all the jokes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we all got into it a little bit. And then you have a display like that last night, and it takes everything away. I mean, the team looked ill-prepared for the big stage. You know, they faced a real good opponent. A team who's clearly better than them. I mean, they were ranked in the top 10 of these World Cup rankings. United States was, what, 17?
It's going to be disrespectful, but they're like North France. Like, France is elite, and they're like North France.
Yeah.
Belgium is like North France, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, the game means more in Europe. It's their number one sport here in the United States. Everybody asks, well, why can't we? Well, because we care about other sports more, and that's where the kids are gravitating towards. However, I do think that there are more and more kids playing soccer now than there were 10 years ago, than there were 20 years ago. And I think that for the most part, what we saw with their World Cup experience this year, I think is going to be positive for the effect, the cumulative effect of soccer in this country. But they have to continue with the momentum somehow after last night's crushing loss. Because, like I said, I thought they were ill-prepared for the stage just based on how they played. There was confusion consistently throughout the game, hesitancy. And that's all I'm going to say because I'm not anywhere near a soccer expert. And I fully admit that. I'm the dude who parachuted in, right? Mm-hmm. Played the game when I was a kid. I've given very little attention to the game since I was in eighth grade, right? I know the game a little bit, but nowhere near what soccer fans truly do. So I feel like I have to take myself out of the equation a little bit. I can walk up to the line to a point and then I can stop. I'm not going to tell you about the defensive strategies involved and, you know, do you need to have the two back or one back? I'm not going to do any of that, right? I can tell you what I saw, and it looked like they were confused out there. And then I'm echoing and parroting what the announcers are saying and what I'm reading online about it. And, you know, it was just disappointing to see them not give great effort out there. And it seemed like it was more mental than anything else. It didn't to me. I mean, physically, this team is, they've got some players. They had some chances, but they couldn't capitalize on it. And, you know, the only goal they get is on a free kick, and it ends up being, you know, basically it's an own goal because it goes off the head, deflected in. I mean, it's not like a kicked in own goal, but, you know, that ball was, it changed direction in a hurry once it hit the guy's head and the goalie had no chance to stop.
Yeah, it was like a deflection out in front of the net in hockey.
Exactly.
Is essentially what it was.
Off a defenseman's skate.
I will just say this. The one position, like Matt Fries, the keeper, the game essentially ended when they gave up that goal.
That third goal was horrendous.
And it's funny because as a keeper, I've talked about this, playing it through high school, that I know looking back that I wasn't mentally strong enough to be the best I could be as a goalie. I would make a mistake and it would become two or three mistakes and I knew it. Like I you have to be wired a certain way, and I, you know, had good size and enough athleticism, but I was not wired correctly. I know my own scouting report, right? And what he did last night was the kind of thing that I would occasionally do. Find myself wildly out of position where there's no one to blame but me. Oftentimes goals come as a result of breakdowns all across the board. And the goalie's just simply the last line of defense, and many times the goalie doesn't have a chance. That Matt Fries moment, and he literally did freeze and hesitated when a simple play. I think he tried to do too much, tried to make, you know, start a breakout or whatever, instead of just, you know, the easy play is to just boom it the hell out of there. And it changed the game. And it finished the game for all intents and purposes. We came out in the second half and the ice was tilted, as we say in hockey, right? Mm-hmm. And we were pressuring. And didn't it really amount any great scoring chances, but possessing the ball in the Belgian end for most of the beginning of the second half, And then that happened.
No, the best chance they had was like with 80-minute mark or so when Balogun had a chance when he found himself behind the defender because the defender missed, kind of whiffed on the ball. And now he's one-on-one with the goalie and unfortunately shot it right into the goalie. But that was the best chance. Outside of that, they really had nothing. And it was, like I said, it was disappointing. I wish the game ended 1-0. Sorry, 1-0. And if they lost 1-0, that would be fine, and I think it would go a long way, and they could have been, you know, cheered off the field, but that just, it was not a good look for them to go out that way. If you're gonna lose, you know, lose looking better than that. And the last goal at the end, you know, with 30 seconds left or whatever, to make it 4-1. I mean, it doesn't matter, but it just kind of typified what we had seen for the previous, you know, 97 minutes.
So, I mean, I guess the bigger question here for me is, are we always going to be a second-tier national soccer team on the men's side? Like the usual suspects, England, Argentina, Spain, Brazil, France, to various degrees, you expect them to be at the top. There's occasionally the Italy issue where like Italy can't even make the damn World Cup anymore. But for the most part, the teams that are near the top of the FIFA world rankings are the real contenders here. And I think back to 1994 when we hosted and Team USA played here. And I believe it was Eric Winalda scored an amazing goal in the Silverdome.
It was Winalda.
And, you know, the thought was, if you had said to me back then, hey, 32 years from now, will we basically be the same team? I would have said no. And I think most people would have said no. You think back to 2002 when we made it, back when the bracket play was only 16, it's 32 now, and we qualified. We made it to the knockout stage, as they call it. We're in the Sweet 16, and we beat Mexico, and we're in the quarterfinals against Germany, and we lose 1-0. That was 2002. If you said to me in 2002, hey, 24 years from now, we'll basically be the same team. Are we ever, ever going to be a real contender in the World Cup? And people will say, and I know what everybody says the same thing. Our best athletes play other sports. True. We also, of all the qualifying countries, have the largest population of everybody who qualified. So it's possible that we don't need our best athletes, which might sound arrogant, but if you have more people and all your best athletes go and play other sports, many of your best athletes go and play other sports, you might not need our very best athletes to compete. I'm not saying to win the whole thing, but to compete in the top 10, to be one of those teams that's in the mix. And you know, you just said that they, you know, you think they built up goodwill and more people are playing than 10 years ago. And all of that may or may not be true. But I feel like we've said the same things after 94 and 2002. 94 when we hosted in 2002, where we actually broke through and won a knockout stage game. And here we sit in 2026. And we're kind of the same team we've always been. And it just makes me question whether or not we ever will. I'd love it. I enjoy the hell out of this event. And what I enjoyed about it as much as my own enjoyment was watching you enjoy it. Seriously. Like I loved how much you got into it. And, you know, it's harder. It's just like March Madness when your team gets knocked out and you go from having a degree of intensity to significantly less intense. You might find the remainder of the event boring and you might check out. And I'm not talking to you, Gator. I'm talking to like all of us. Because I'm not going to completely check out, but I will admit now that we're not in it, I will see what my level of interest settles in at, right? My authentic level of interest. But it just makes me question, are we ever going to break through, not necessarily getting our top athletes to play, but getting enough better athletes where we can compete?
Well, I think that we're at a state where we talk about a lot with other sports, like the roster, that the bottom of the roster has gotten better. Maybe that's where this team is, and that we'll see maybe incrementally getting better. I don't know if they're ever going to be considered one of the top six teams in the world. I don't know. I don't really, I don't have my finger on the pulse of how many kids are playing soccer. My guess is more and more are playing it now than have ever played it before. I think that this World Cup inspired others to play. I think that you have people that maybe have never watched soccer before that turned it on this time around, and they see people who look like them and they think, oh, well, I can play other sports. This is great. I like this sport. I have a new hero. And, you know, move forward with that and we'll see where we're at. But it's going to take a while. I mean, I don't think the next cycle is going to, we're going to all of a sudden, hey, 4 years from now, they're, look at them. They're a top five team. I don't think that's the case. It takes a while. But at the same time, like you, been hearing this since Detroit Express took over at the Silverdome in the late 70s in the North American Soccer League. And, you know, it's been the same thing for over 50 years, or about 50 years, it feels
like. To get into the deep end of the pool, too, with what we did with youth soccer, about a decade ago, we changed our model in that it was no longer school year, it was birth year. Which in the middle of like my daughter and kids growing up, their teams got cut in half where you weren't playing with kids that you were in at the time, like seventh grade with. You started playing with kids that were somewhere in seventh, somewhere in eighth. It was all about birth year. Mm-hmm. And we changed it because that's the world model. And the thought was, well, we'll get in line with the rest of the world. And here we are a decade later and we're the same team. And I don't know. I mean.
Well, that's with what, travel?
That's what travel, but that's what feeds these programs, is the club programs. 248-539-9797. Are we ever going to break through in this sport? And I mean, some of it comes down to the degree of how much, you know, the country collectively cares and how much the people care. It felt like the TV ratings were great. Caller traffic was good with this. People were watching it. Will we ever break through? 248-539-9797. Also have a Twitter question. You can only imagine what the question is. Whether I want you to think about how you'd answer this. What is more likely to happen in your lifetime? The U.S. men's national team wins the World Cup or the Lions win the Super Bowl?
Careful. You put it on a Twitter poll?
Yep.
Careful.
What is more likely to happen?
People.
What is more likely to happen?
That's the response from last week's Twitter poll I put out there with soccer and the Lions.
Well, yours was, would you rather attend a World Cup final with the U.S. or attend a Super Bowl with the Lions?
Yeah.
That was a little bit different question than this. This question is, what is more likely to happen in your lifetime? U.S. men's national team wins the World Cup, Lions win the Super Bowl.
Snark.
248-539-9797. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. All right, what do you think the answers are here? Which is more likely to happen in your lifetime? U.S. men's national team wins the World Cup, Lions win the Super Bowl. And I will point this out, okay, just to for clarity's sake.
Yeah.
There are two answers
here. There are two choices. It's a poll.
And it's a relevance. We're looking at, by comparison, which do you think is more likely? So comparing the odds of one relevant to the other. The thousands upon thousands of people who like to say neither, well, duh. But which do you think is more likely for the relevant, for when you compare them relevant to one another, Lions win the Super Bowl, the U.S. men's national team win the World Cup. What do you think the people are saying?
I think people will say the Lions.
Yeah.
Because we've seen them get to the NFC Championship game, 15 minutes away from getting to the Super Bowl, and obviously didn't happen. World Cup team has never gotten close in our lifetime.
What do you think the percentages are of the answers?
I would think it's got to be, I'll go 82% Lions.
Higher.
94% Lions.
Just about. 93.1% say the Lions winning the Super Bowl is a more likely occurrence than the U.S. men's national team winning the World Cup, which might tell you in the perception of a town that's loves its team, but is also cynical about its team. Even that seems like a more likely thing to happen than our men's team ever breaking through. And let me tell you, it's kind of a bummer to be the same team, to be the same team all over again. And I feel like every year I look at the FIFA standings for this thing. I'm like, okay, we're there. We're like 13, 14. This year, I think we're 15 or 16.
We're 17.
Yeah, we're in the teens. And every year, we make a little bit of noise. Every 40 years, we make a little bit of noise. And I enjoy the hell out of it. I really do. And I root like crazy for us. And last night was the, I guess, predictable, depressing end.
I'm just, my big concern is, did they just kill all the momentum that they built up during the tournament? Because this was fever pitch. It was exciting as hell. You get to, prior to the game last night, I mean, your Twitter feed is silly, 2 hours before the game, with shots of people out there in Seattle. The crowds were amazing. You know, the anthem and everything else, and people were so loud. It was fantastic. And then they laid an egg out there on the pitch, and did they kill it all? I hope they didn't. I don't think they did. I look at myself as being like that. I'm the example, right? Because I'm the guy who parachuted in, and I watched a lot of the World Cup, and specifically a lot of the U.S. in the World Cup. But I've spent time watching the other games, too. Where am I going to be starting today? Well, you know, day one after the U.S. gets eliminated, where am I? And where is everybody else who parachuted in? Am I going to – I mean, who's playing today? Colombia and somebody?
Yes. Ratoon.
Is it Ratoon? Yeah. Well, I'm always going to root for Ratoon.
Yeah. I think one of the issues is there's no outlet for us outside of this. I shouldn't say there's no outlet. I think the question is, the people that got into this, are they going to turn to MLS, Premier League? Are they going to start watching soccer at any other level? And it's, you know, you can't force people to do it. I said it. I'm a fan, but I'm not an evangelist for the sport either.
I mean, for me, it's the baby steps. Will I continue watching this particular World Cup? And because there is massive star power still with Messi and Mbappe and Haaland, you know, and Kane. And yeah, there's massive star power left here in the World Cup. And it appeals to me. Like England, Norway appeals to me a little bit. Will I remember when the game is? Well, if it's on against the Tigers, does it get any play? I mean, we'll see. That's a test for me. As far as the MLS stuff, no, it's not going. I don't think for a second will I tune into MLS. Because I think
that's if you can. Well, if you can get that, I think that might be a bit of a game changer.
But that's where you're trying to get. Yeah. I mean, I think you're building off your young audience that you have, and you're seeing if, okay, you've got the 20-something crowd. Can you get into the 30-something crowd?
All right, let's talk to the people. Chris, you're on 97.1. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I think the issue is only going to get worse. You know, it's America. Everything's about money and making money. So, you know, when I was a kid playing travel soccer 20 years ago, it was $300. Now it's $3,000 just to be on the team, not including additional fees, tournaments, everything else. So I think everything's coming down to the dollar. And even hockey, it's like the private equity firms are buying up all the arenas. It's just they're making it unaffordable. So not only can you not afford to go to the games, you can't afford to play the games anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've kind of been through it and are through it with the kids, and you choose as parents what, you know, your disposable income's going to go towards. Well, that's what he's saying. Yeah. He's including other sports. You know, they all are getting more and more expensive. Youth sports has become, and it's been for a while here, a massive industry. And that should be, in many ways, feeding the you know, the national teams. Chris, do you have kids that play?
I do, yeah. Okay. So we took them out of soccer travel because it was like $4,500. We went to house hockey, which was a little bit cheaper. But, you know, we go to places like Canada and everything's community centers, you know, free skating, free sports. And then you come over here and it's like, how much money do you have? So.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's, I guess capitalism has taken over. I just, for people who live through the age group thing, when the kids' teams got cut in half a decade ago, and all of a sudden you were playing, everybody was birth year. You were the 06 Tigers instead of the, you know, seventh grade Tigers or whatever they were when my daughter's team got cut in half. And they, by the way, like she was playing with her best friends and got separated and it sucked. But that, I thought that kind of thing, and it happened on the boys' side too. Wasn't that supposed to pay dividends here a decade later? Aren't we supposed to be like competing at a higher level since we went to the world's model? Or did we just go all through that heartbreak for nothing? Sean in Ann Arbor, you're next. Hi, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think it's interesting is that I was just looking up, like, you know, how we talk about the players that were on Belgium. So, like, you know, De Bruyne, Lukaku, these are, like, household international names. And they came off the bench, and they're kind of at the trail end of their career. But their current average annual salary is actually higher than Kristen Pulisic, who is arguably our best player. And per their annual contracts, they make more or roughly the same, if not more, and they came off the bench. And I think that, you know, the broadcasters brought that up. They're like, it's the quality of talent. It's like how U.S. basketball used to be. And that gap is narrowing. But for U.S. soccer, I mean, I play in rec leagues and I'm in my 30s and, you know, there's interest, but, you know, growing up, like I play travel too. And, you know, it's unattainable. Like you go to other countries, you know, people are playing in the streets. People are playing. You can go to the beach and in Mexico. And I was there. People are just playing soccer there. You don't see that here. Basketball is like the sport that I think will still be ahead because you can still play. There's courts. Like, there's just not an infrastructure for it. But I think it just to that even point, our best player and who our all-star is getting paid less than what the bench guys of Belgium are who are coming in just to, you know.
Well, who's paying him? Sean, are you talking about their club teams or are you talking about with the national
team? The club teams.
So, they're getting paid because they're better players, right?
Right, but they're coming off the bench, right? So their bench players are getting paid more than our starters for the club teams. But I think it's not to say that Pulisic he had an underwhelming tournament. I think he probably could have played better. I mean, Dest and these guys, McKinney, like this was that next generation that we were talking about, and they just kind of they just fizzled out in that game. But I just think it's just, and we do, like we spend so much resources on all these other sports. You know, like football in other countries doesn't really exist. And that's our biggest, you know, spend in this country. So it won't ever really shift. I mean, yeah, I do think the Lions will win a Super Bowl before we do, before that soccer team wins, because we spend more money on football than any other country I combine.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few that play it. But thank you, Sean. 248-539-9797. Will we ever break through? Will we ever get to the point, like, and I don't think the argument is, will our best athletes go play? It's, well, just some better athletes go play. Because we have, of all the qualifying teams, we have the largest population. So it might not even take our very best athletes, but can we get a higher quality of player that can compete beyond always being this fringe Iowa of the World Cup? The Iowa football of the World Cup. Respectable.
Flare up every few years.
Yeah, we compete.
Have some kind of game. You've lost one or none games going into the final week of the season or whatever.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97. Feedback coming in. Jim in a car, I think you're being arrogant. If you think our fourth tier athletes after our best athletes go into football, baseball, and basketball are somehow better than those other countries, top tier athletes, I think that's just complete arrogance. That's from Jim in a car. They will discover life on Mars. They'll create a soccer team and it will win a championship before the Lions win a Super Bowl. USA soccer is the equivalent of MAC football. It's fun to watch, but it's not competing with the Big Ten or SEC.
Went all the way down to MAC, though.
Yeah.
No love for Big 12?
Interesting. Mike and Livonia, we will always be second tier because our youth system is a disaster. There's a reason we're competitive this World Cup because the good youth is going overseas sooner. To develop. We won't develop because of greed and the amount of money that comes into USA soccer. That's from Mike and Livonia.
So does that mean, here's how I interpret that. I interpret that as saying that the system that we have right now is watered down and they're not getting the elite instruction because there's so many teams out there and so many people out there, you know, waiting for the parents' money that it's not.
Well, I interpret that as if you're really, really good, you're jumping overseas. You go to England to develop. So you're 12 in England.
Right, because the development here isn't as good. And why isn't it as good?
I don't know. Scott writes in, we will improve because we'll keep adding some of the immigrants who come to this country as youth or older. Well, I don't know that flow is exactly what it used to be right now.
The pipeline has changed a little bit.
The USA cannot produce their own. This is from an unnamed texter. The USA cannot produce their own superstars. Guys like Tillman on the team now grow up in Europe and to be trained. When the U.S. can keep kids at home to train and they turn into a superstar, that's when the USA can break through. Right now, that's just not happening. When I was watching Freeze, I screamed at the TV, foul. When he went to kick the ball and he didn't follow through, I thought he didn't kick it because he was fouled from behind. When I saw the replay, he decided not to clear it out. I couldn't believe it. What the heck was he thinking? Don't know. I'm not disappointed in the loss. Belgium's far more talented offensively and defensively. They reminded me of the Russian Five, just toying around with the USA the way they move the ball around. That's from Aaron and Hal. 248-539-9797. Will we ever breakthrough? Larry in Detroit, you're next. Hello, Larry.
Yeah, no, I think that maybe our excitement is the same thing we get when we watch the Olympics. Certainly swimming, gymnastics, all those things are great things. We're behind the USA, but obviously after the Olympics is over, nobody goes, you know, say, hey, you want to go watch a, you know, swim meet? You want to go to a, you know, a volleyball game? It just doesn't happen. United States, basically, if you're looking at soccer, it's a default. You take your kids out there because they can't make the baseball team. They can't make the basketball team. They can't do other things. But soccer's pretty wide open. They run around. Parents talk on the sidelines. Nobody really cares. And at the other, you know, end of it, you don't ask somebody, hey, would you like to go to a soccer game today? You know, you can sit there at a Tiger game. Yeah, I'll go to a Tiger game with you. But a soccer game? So we don't have any interest here in this country. Therefore, we're not going to develop it. It isn't something that people think about. You know, so, you know,
Larry, some of what you said, I think is true. Some of it is just wildly hysterically stereotypical and portraying a lack of knowledge of what it's like, especially at the youth level.
What I'm saying, again, is that you have to understand that you say, well, if we get more people, it's just, yeah, more people will play soccer, but not more talented people.
Sort of my point is, and I like the guy who said it's arrogance. Look, if you have a greater base of people to choose from, I'm not saying we can win with bad athletes. We definitely need better athletes. I'm saying we need better athletes to play. Do we need our very best? No, I don't think we need our very best. People say our best athletes don't go play. Fair. But can we get better athletes than this to play and be competitive on the world stage? If you have a bigger population to choose from, you should be able to put a competitive team out there.
I think the biggest obstacle is the passion. This is what they live for everywhere else in the world other than the United States.
Right.
Like the majority of these countries, soccer is number one. And if it's not number one, then it's like soccer and cricket, right? Two sports that really have, I mean, soccer's taken off a little bit here, but cricket, nobody gives a rip about cricket here. So when all the passion is on soccer, every local town in or every little town in England has a soccer club, right? It's what they're born to do. It's what they want. It's what they care about. We don't here because we're not the same. Because we have basketball. We have American football. We have baseball. We have hockey. We have a million other sports. We'd rather go out golfing.
I do feel like we're just like we could win one of these things, like a bracket if there was an NIT. We're like the team that's on the bubble. We could win the NIT.
If you're asking if I would go to a play-in game with USA and Uruguay in Dayton, maybe, probably not.
We're just a bowl eligible U.S. men's national team.
Woo! We got 500.
We're not going to the playoff.
Won that sixth game.
Jack in Belleville, what's up, Jack?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
All right.
I've got a couple things I want to get off my chest here. I'll try to make it quick. One thing that bugged me a whole lot yesterday that speaks a whole lot more to the state of soccer in America. I don't know if it was you guys or someone else on the show. After the games on Sunday, somebody on the show said that Holland guy is really good, isn't he? And that bugged me pretty bad because Erling Haaland has been one of the premier biggest names in the sport for like years now. Has an unbelievable record and career. Has so many awards, and honestly, like, that's like somebody across overseas watching one game of basketball and going, hey, that Giannis Antetokounmpo guy is actually pretty good. It sounds insane for somebody over here to say something like that, but it just goes to show, like, people over here really, if they might think they know what's going on in the leagues or across the world, but they really don't. Like, if you can't name...
Wait a minute. You think that people here actually do know about the Premier League and the other leagues in the world? Because we don't.
I mean, if you want to be... That's what I mean. That's yeah. The problem is nobody cares at all. Like, even the people who do care and say they do care, I mean, even the people who have the best knowledge of the sport here today, it's still not comparing to some random 50-year-old who has done nothing but sit on the couch for the last 30 years.
Well, God, you don't have to be that insulting. But, I mean, Jack, I will say this, and I don't know what you heard or who said it, whether it was one of us or somebody else. I don't think it was. but we've admitted we do our best. This is a hole in our game. It is not something that you know, we've learned to react to what the audience is talking about more so than push our own agendas. And if you start pushing an agenda of promoting the sport of soccer, you lose your audience and you lose your job. Now it's relevant and people are into it, and it's fun. To be honest with you, it's fun for us and it's fresh. It's something different to talk about, and to have new things and really honestly just be a bit of a fan. Like, we were talking to Valeni in the crosstalk yesterday. He was coming in and we were going out, and Mike said, we don't have to talk about contracts or trades or anything. You can't trade Balogun and future first round picks for Mbappe, right? You can't. There's not contract disputes. You play for your country. And it's just there's a pure, authentic sport that is in no way poisoned by any of the business. It's just the game. And it's refreshing as hell. Mike was right. It's refreshing as hell just to have a sport where we're not even considering the contracts and the trades and who blew it. Now, I don't understand why the U.S. won't go for it and make a bold move. Right? I mean, it's all about the games. And that's actually kind of why I got into it years ago. Is it was just about the games. Well, and now it's about NIL and transfer portal. I know, I get it. But that, I'm saying, this was refreshing and fun to talk about. And apologies if someone was offended that we didn't know who the guy from Norway was, who is awesome.
Erling Targaryen is really good.
And yes, we were joking around early, and I said, I'll plant the flag. And Mbappe is the best player in the world based on this 4 weeks that I've seen. And the half the games that I've watched. And he's really incredible. And I've enjoyed the hell out of just being a fan. Now, I think most people have sampled this, and I think many people have enjoyed it. The question is, can we compete above and beyond this? And there's no question that this is not likely to ever be our number one sport. Our lifetime, that's not going to happen.
No.
Can we get better athletes interested in playing? Where we can compete, and
is it better athletes, or is it better training, better instruction, better coaching?
Well, that I don't know.
I think it's too easy to say better athletes. I think there's something else that goes on there. You have to have the passion. This country doesn't have it for soccer. This country has it for other sports, but not for soccer.
No, but again, if there's any way to just improve the quality of athlete going in. And I think the idea of asking our best athletes, saying our best athletes have to go play, that's not going to happen. But when we're talking about competing better than we are, can we get better athletes? I mean, the training thing, we went out and got this coach from Argentina because he's supposedly the kind of guy, and everybody said he's the kind of coach that can get us to win games like this. And we didn't. And it really, unfortunately, it didn't feel like we came that close.
Not even close.
Andrew in Ann Arbor, you're next. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Man, it's a super disappointing loss. I mean, the one thing, they talked about it, someone called in and said about LeBron playing soccer, texted in that, can we stop saying that? He's 6'9", 260 pounds. He's not going to play soccer. As far as our best athletes playing other sports, I mean, yeah, maybe there's probably some football players, maybe a couple like baseball players based on size that could do it. But I think we have an extremely athletic group that play the sport. What happened last night was not the fact our guys were not athletic. They played scared. They abandoned their tactics. The first three or four games, they played a high press. They were going after guys. They were swarming. And for whatever reason, it could have been either the confidence of the players or the coaching itself, where they changed tactics and decided to play more of a mid-block and play back. And it just seemed like the game was completely flat and stagnant.
Andrew
Olympic had his worst game.
Real quick, what is your – I mean, you sound like you're a big-time soccer fan.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, all right. So you've watched this team play more than just this World Cup, I assume?
Yeah, not as much as I should have, though. I mean, the exhibition games leading up to the World Cup, because we don't have qualifying games. We have to play exhibition games. There was a coaching issue. Pochettino was rotating goalkeepers 5 games before the World Cup. Can you explain that? I mean, I don't understand why you would do that. You're not giving these guys the game reps that they need. And it showed with...
This is good, because you're answering our question. You think we can compete at a much higher level, but we were mismanaged.
100% during this game. If you watched them play against the Bosnia game, I get it. The Bosnia's not the same team as Belgium. I completely understand that. But to play in the manner that they did last night, it was embarrassing. The best summarization of what happened during the game, watch what Carly Lloyd said afterwards as far as playing timid and playing scared. Pulisic had 11 turnovers in the first 45 minutes, which was the most of anybody on the field during that time. If he didn't have an injury, he was going to get pulled regardless. And when you had guys that actually jumped on the ball and swarmed and played more of like a Jurgen Klopp high press, like when you interjected like Reyna or a Berhalter, they created turnovers. And I thought, you need that type of energy, and they had in those first games. I don't understand why they fell completely flat.
Andrew, we're out of time. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
He's got a passion.
Yeah, he does. It's Carson Anderson, 97. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson. Look, that last caller, Andrew.
He's a fan.
He's a huge fan. Whether he knows what he's talking about, I can't challenge him. He definitely thinks this is a mismanagement issue, that we should be able to compete higher than we have on the world stage. And it's intriguing because we just brought in a coach that was specifically supposed to get us over the top. And, that doesn't mean, this was the plan. You can always have a great plan, but you have to execute the plan. And he didn't do it. He did not do it. 248-539-9797. Let's go to he mentioned Carly Lloyd. Do we have that, Paul? All right, Paul behind the glass this week. If you could play what Carly Lloyd said afterwards, because he said she was spot on.
Sounds like a party, though.
It does. The only part I'm not sure about is the future. And the reason I say that is I go back to 94 and 2002. When we hosted in 94, if you told me 32 years from now, we'll basically be the same team. In 2002, when we actually won a game in the knockout stage and made it to the quarterfinals and lost to Germany 1-0. That team, if you told me 24 years later, we'd basically be the same team. All those, I'm can guarantee many of the same things were said about bright future.
Well, there's a quote that's been flying around the Twitterverse that Pulisic had after the game that is rubbing people the wrong way. All I see is the quote, which is, quote, "Now I get time to rest, so it'll be okay."
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a...
So...
Is he speaking specifically to his injury? Because that sounds like something you'd say, hey, is your ankle okay? Well, now I get time to rest, so it'll be okay.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, I'm imagining that's it, but people are taking it and running with it all over
the Twitterverse. Yeah, I hope that's not out of
context. Yeah.
Because what makes sense? What makes sense there? Does it make sense that he's like, whatevs? or does it make sense that he's talking about his injury?
I would imagine he's devastated, but when, you know, it's constantly put out there that it doesn't look good, and yet, of course, there's got to be more to it than that.
Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Tim. You're next. Hello, Tim.
Hello, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to kind of chime in on what you guys are talking about. First of all, going back to what Andrew said, yeah, last night when you're going through the lineups, when I saw that our team was starting out with, I think it was a 3-5-2. I mean, I haven't seen that lineup since they've been in the World Cup, and even before that, because I watched a little bit of the team. They're usually in a 4-3-2-1. So I don't know if they're just playing, if the coach got a little timid and changed it up, and they just weren't comfortable in that formation or what, but it wasn't normal.
Interesting. I mean, is it something that he would say, I was saving for this?
I don't know. I mean, because that's more of, in my opinion, that lineup's more of a laying back and a defensive kind of, where that 4-3-2-1, you're kind of more on the attack balance.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, I can relate it to football, where you have a different game plan every week based on your opponent. So do you change based on who you're facing rather than what's worked for you against lesser teams, and now you're taking on the best team you faced in the tournament, and you might have to change things up.
Yeah, but what I say to that, I mean, I do watch a lot of soccer. I am a football fan, so I watch a lot of – I'm a German fan, so I watch a lot of Bayern Munich. And no matter who they're playing, if they're playing in the Champions League or in their actual Bundesliga league, they're always in the same formation. And I watch the German national team, they're always in the same formation.
Fair enough.
So, you know, it's hard to say.
I can't believe I'm going to do this. Hold on, Tim. Isn't that what you do when you're better than everybody? You don't need to change things up. You can be the same formation because you're better than everybody. And if you're not, you need to find a way to get a tactical advantage by changing things up and hitting with surprise or trying to take advantage of anything that you can in a game.
You could say that. Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. But at the same time, wouldn't you stay with what you're familiar with and comfortable with?
Maybe,
you know, because like what Carly always said, they played a little timid. You know. Yeah, and was that tactical? Were they not comfortable, you know?
I don't know. Hey, look, I like the concept of what we've gotten from Andrew and now you, Tim, that we can win these games and we can be more competitive, that we made some managerial mistakes, and that it's not just that our best athletes aren't playing the sport, or better athletes that we have aren't playing the sport. Nick and Shelby, you're next. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
So, I disagree with the caller on Pochettino. I think this guy's been here for a year, and he put this team together. He's figuring out players, which guys, what guys, and the whole thing with the freeze thing, going back and forth with the goalie, I don't think he was sold on either of them initially. So, yeah, he's going to rotate guys in. He's going to see what the guys have. So, look, man, I've been a coach. I won a couple of state championships, high school football. And the first year, we didn't make the playoffs here in Michigan. And we changed a lot of things just to basically blame the coach. And they were not in a 2-5-3. They were more in a 3-4-3. And they got their asses beat by Belgium the first time they played them. They lost 5-2 in a friendly. So Belgium is better football, is better team than us. Now,
and the Russians beat the crap out of the U.S. team in 1980, 10-3, before the U.S. beat them in the Olympics. And the U.S. and Russia both say, if it weren't for the game in Madison Square Garden a week before, Lake Placid never happens. The Russians were overconfident, and the U.S. changed what they did when they faced them. Like, I get it, and I'm sorry, we're up against a break here. I'm not sure that what happens before helps or doesn't help you. In the case of the 1980 U.S. Olympic team, rather, they won that game against the Russians in the Olympics because of what happened in Madison Square Garden. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.